Priscilla, I'm going to give you a word, and I want you to give me a reaction, okay?
Okay.
So the word is temptation.
Sin, which equals failure.
Yeah, because we have always connected temptation to sin, haven't we? Even though we know in Hebrews 4:15, it says that Jesus was tempted in all ways as us, yet without sin.
Yeah, but for a split second there, we go, man, did he really face everything we've faced? Because I'm always failing.
Well, on this episode, we're going to talk about temptation and how to disconnect it from sin. Hi, and welcome to Savage Marriage. This is Phil.
And this is Priscilla. We're sharing how God helped us overcome our past and fight for our future.
And what he did in our marriage, he can do in yours too.
This is Savage Marriage. Prior to 7 years ago, right, when you came clean, you hardly ever shared any of your temptations with me. You were mostly quiet on that. I really did not even care about it.
So when I did share, what kind of feelings did that bring up?
What it brought up was that now is a constant failure.
Yeah.
Like all these temptations, now I see them, now I'm a part of them, and you know, everywhere we go, I see things, and it's like, another temptation.
Well, I've had to deal with it too, because see, my history has been temptation has always been linked to failure, always been linked to acting out. I never seem to be able to get escape from this stuff.
Yeah. And part of it is when you have something to share, that first feeling is of, oh, shoot, failure.
Right.
You know,
even though it might just be a temptation.
Right. It's you wanting to open what's on your heart, what is happening to you, and you go, so I need to talk to you about something.
I think this topic today, Priscilla, that we're talking about is really key for people because it's been a revelation to us on how to deal with temptation. It really has, because when we look at what the Bible says about temptation, so Hebrews 4:15, it says Jesus was tempted in all ways as us, but without sin. So we've had to start getting to another place on this, that temptation is not sin.
It's a testing.
It's a testing. But because of history, it's always been linked to sin.
And failure.
Right. Because I don't think I've ever gotten out of the temptation in the past. It led to acting out and failure. So this idea that we can be tempted and not sin is new for us.
And we're in it together, too. It's not just you. It's me being a part of what is happening with you.
Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except something that is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. I think in the past, when I didn't get out of the temptation, I blame God.
I think that's normal for a lot of people. Oh my goodness, God didn't get me out of this one.
Yeah, because we look at this and we say, God, I am in the middle of a temptation. You say that you're going to provide a way of escape. So where is it?
Yeah.
Right? So it's almost a blaming. I mean, I certainly don't want to blame myself.
No, we wouldn't want to do that.
Right. It's much easier to blame somebody else. But that is the issue that I've had. And I don't think we realize that temptation is such a perilous place. It's a place of testing. I like the word you use, testing. Is actually, that corresponds more to the way the Greek uses the word temptation. And it's a place of testing on what's going to happen next. It's something we've had to wrestle with quite a lot.
Yeah, and in the past 7 years, it's been one of those things that come up frequently. And I think initially it was coming up all the time. And now it kind of goes into speed bumps here and there.
And we've had people ask about both spouses, when are they ever going to stop being tempted?
I think I've had that question in my mind, too.
Yes.
when is this over?
And what's the answer?
Never.
Right.
Testing will always happen.
Yeah, we link temptation to immorality, but it should be linked to our humanness because we all have desires inside of us. And we fill those desires in a way that's unhealthy many, many times, but the temptation is always a choice for us, is a testing. And so we've got kind of a unique podcast we're doing for everybody on this, because a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak to a men's group at a conference center at Lake Yale over around Leesburg, Florida. And the topic I spoke on was how to escape from temptation. And it's something that I think everybody needs to know. And this applies to not only sexuality issues, but any type of temptation, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this could be someone who's a shopaholic, right?
Right.
Or anything, really.
Yeah.
Anything that is a testing ground for you. Because what you're tested in is different than what I'm tested in.
Yeah. So what we've got for you is we've got a 15-minute excerpt from what I shared with the guys at that conference just a few weeks ago. And then we're going to come back to you and give you some comments. But the other piece that we have to think about is, what is temptation? Because that is the key. We have a verse that illustrates this really, really well. And it's James 1:14-15. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Can you see the metaphor of a physical birth in this? Right? You got words like conception, you have word the birth. And what they're doing is they're presenting a picture of what temptation's like. Now, some of you guys are old enough to remember a comedian named Flip Wilson. Now, do you remember one of the famous lines that Flip Wilson had? The devil made me do it, right? Why do you think that that was such an attractive line? What does this say here? Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by what? Their own. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to look outside than to look inside? He's saying, hey, here's what's enticing you. The devil didn't make you do it. You decided to do it based on your positioning. And that's what it is. We don't really want to look inside, but that's where it comes from. In fact, the Apostle Paul said this. Yes, I think it's in Romans 7. It's when he's going through all the stuff that I do, the stuff that I don't want to do, and, you know, everything like this. Then he goes on and he says, I find within me this principle that there is evil inside of me, the one who wishes to do good. So we have this thing inside of us that is tempted. It's dragged away. It's our own desires that want to pull us. Then it says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And so for me, I would tell you today with where I am, the whole temptation to plan sexual immorality and do stuff, it's just kind of not present within me day to day. But if I hit a trigger, if I see something, it can get my attention again. Now, the longer I meditate on it, the longer I think about it, the longer that I let this process go, that is the place where I've not just become enticed and said, wow, she's really good looking, but I've decided I'm actually going to consume her. Now, I've not done it yet, right? Because see, that's also in the verse. It says, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. And what I have found is that I was living most of my life with Priscilla somewhere between conception and acting out. When you're trapped between conception and acting out, it's like giving a birth to a baby. When there is a conception, that baby, unless there is something really unusual out of the normal course, is going to be born. So once the sin has been conceived, it's as if you've already done it. Now, Jesus said this, right? He said, hey, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you already done it. So here's the problem with the accountability groups. So if you go to the group, they go, hey, any problems, any acting out this week, any acting out? Nope, nope, nope. Okay, you're good. We've ignored the fact that the sin has already occurred. See, what we need to be talking about is the conception of lust, this conception of sin. That's what we need to be talking about. A number of years ago, I was fishing with my kids. We were out in the ocean and my kids were young and they weren't catching many fish. So I get the idea, I'm going to jump off the boat with my snorkel, my mask on. So I jump down and I am down where I can see their hooks and their bait. So I started observing what was happening with the fish. So the fish are just kind of walking around and swimming around. There's not really anybody looking at the bait. Then all of a sudden you get one that starts circling the bait. And so I'm watching it, right? And then you get one that not only circles, they stop
and they put their nose on the bait. They're like this far from the bait and they're just staring at the bait. Not, they did not bite the bait yet. But I knew that as soon as they stopped circling and they went at the bait and they sat there, they were getting ready to bite it. And so then what happens, sure enough, they bit the bait. And as soon as they went in to bite it, I yelled through my snorkel, pull! And the kids pulled the fish in, right? But that was a good picture of what's happening here. So many of us have stopped circling the bait and we're actually staring at the bait. You didn't bite it yet, so you feel good about yourself. But the problem is we call this the white knuckling phase. We're hanging onto the table trying not to do the thing that we really don't want to do. Because if we do it, that's going to be the problem. But see, the problem is we've already looked at it and we already consumed. And that's what Jesus said. If you look at a woman, it just doesn't say look at a woman. Okay, that's not what the verse says, right? It's if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's as if you've done it. So this is the trigger point that we have to worry about on how to deal with this. But we also have to look at is where and how are you being positioned? Because, you know, Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. Well, there's nothing inherently tempting about the devil. So you have to figure out what is he exactly doing. Do you remember what he did with Jesus? He's out in the wilderness, he's with the devil, and the devil positioned him, right? He took him up to the top of the place, look out over here. So he positioned him. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Positioned them, right? So the idea is that if he can position us by either suggestions or situations or whatever it is, what takes over? Our natural lust and evil desires inside of us. So he is all about positioning for us. So it's very interesting. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. It's a weird way of saying it, right? But it's almost like a lead me around it, right? Because the enemy is going to try to position you in a place where your desires will take over. So I've seen this. I mean, it's something that we still have to work on quite a lot in our life. So about 3 weeks ago, we were traveling and we were at a beach resort. We had been staying kind of over this family type pool. And so we were going to have dinner one night and it was at a restaurant that was another part of the resort. And so I said, I'll go over and take a look and see if we want to eat dinner. So I walk over there and it comes around and there's a different pool. There's not the family pool. And I walk around to the side and first thing I see is a girl and wearing a thong bikini. And I don't know if you guys are so old you don't get interested in that stuff anymore, but I'm not that old, I will tell you. And it got my interest. I came back around to go back, and now her friend walks up. Her friend is equally as attractive, except she's wearing a cover-up. So what do I think? What's on under the cover-up, right? And you guys look so holy, like you never had a thought. You know, you're not admitting it. There you go. So I'm walking back. I kind of slow down my walk. I'm lingering a little bit. I'm heading back to see Priscilla, but I've slowed my walk just a little bit until she pulls it off, lays down. So I go back and see Priscilla and my relationship. We are now at a place where we talk freely about this. She understands this. She understands me. And I know a lot of times guys, we're conditioned to share with our buddies, share with our accountability partners, you know, stuff like that. That's where the confession comes. But see, what I've looked at and what has worked for us, see, I don't offend my buddies. I don't offend my accountability partners. I offend my wife. See, this body of mine, who has authority over this body? My wife. I have authority over hers. When I use my body inappropriately, who does it offend? My wife. Matthew, I think it's chapter 5, says, if you're bringing your offering and there you remember that your brother, could be sister, has something against you, what are you supposed to do? You leave your offering and who do you go to? Your accountability buddy? You go to the person you offended. So somehow we've gotten this all turned around that we offend our wives, but we go to our accountability buddies. I think that's what I did for 18 years. I can tell you, My accountability buddies were not nearly as reactive in about what I've done to offend my wife than my wife was. And once I started seeing the level of my sin and what had it had done to Priscilla on the inside of her, and I started seeing the real impact, you know, it made me not want to do that anymore. Because I never really understood it very well until I saw it viscerally inside of her. And then I stopped. So anyway, I walk back from the pool. I get back. I sit down next to Priscilla. And I said, hey, I just need to share something with you. I said, I walked over to the pool and there was a girl in thong bikini there and caught my attention. And I don't want that stuff in my head. And I want to share that with you. She said, okay, I understand. Thank you for sharing. A little bit later, I went back and mentioned something else about the thong girl in the thong bikini. And then I think I'd mentioned it one other time. She said, hey, listen, I got a question for you. She said, why is this thing still staying in your head? What is it that has captivated you about the girl? So I thought about it. I said, well, so there is one detail I didn't tell you. And I described the particular way that she looked, and it took me back to images in my mind, my porn usage. And I said, that's what it was. And she goes, is there anything else? And I said, nope, that's it. That's what it was. And she said, okay. I go to bed. I wake up at 3 a.m. This is just like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. What's on my mind? What didn't I tell her? Yeah, because see, when I walk around the corner and I see the girls, I can't do anything about them being there, right? I'm kind of a victim. I walk around the corner, they're there. Any red-blooded guy is going to, that's going to look good. Except some of you guys said it doesn't look good to you anymore, but that's okay. Still looks good to me, all right? But see, what happened is I didn't tell her that I lingered. Because see, the lingering means that I've actually got sin now. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I just feel like guys just hammer me on this, that I wasn't really hot. We use an acronym called HOT, honest, open, and transparent. It's the way we run our lives now. And so I wasn't honest, open, and transparent with Priscilla. So we go to breakfast that morning and we were sitting there talking. I said, hey, I need to share something else with you. She goes, huh, I thought so. And see, what I didn't share with you is that when we got back to the room after that previous day, we got back to the room and, you know, we're at a nice resort. And so I'm interested in maybe a little bit of intimacy with Priscilla. She sensed something else was missing. Something else had been disclosed. And she said she just wasn't interested. And so that morning at breakfast, I said, I need to share this with you. I said, I lingered in this. And that was my choice. Before, I was a victim. I can't do anything about where they are or what my past is. It's a trigger, right? We all have a past. But my lingering was my choice. That was my decision. And I said, I have to confess that to you. And so she was super gracious with me. We've been through so much stuff and walking through this. And she knows that that stuff brings freedom and healing, right? To be able to do that. So we talked about that. We prayed about it. And that got rid of the whole thing for me as I walked back through that. But see, it was all around the positioning. And sometimes we believe that this positioning is just by chance. The other day, I went to the grocery store on Sunday. We live close to University of Central Florida, so it's a lot of young kids around there. On Sunday afternoon, I got home and I said, Priscilla, I said, I'm not going to Publix anymore on Sunday afternoons because there's a whole bunch of naked girls in there. What happened? So I ran through two or three girls that had just, you know, paraded through there while I was there. But see, we live like that now in a place of openness and transparency. And what I have found is that whenever we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And so we say, why is this so difficult to understand? And why is this? Well, here's the issue. And it's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is what? Common to man. So 2 points to make on this verse. First of all, most of the time, guys dealing with this stuff, we don't admit to anybody because we think we're the only one. But there is so much happening, and we have to believe that it is common. The second thing I used to say is that God wasn't giving me a way of escape. It's not my fault. It's his fault. He said he'd give me the way of escape. I'm just struggling. I'm waiting on God. And I started realizing that I didn't understand what the escape was. Because flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's what's happening here. But see, here's what we need to do whenever we're on the other side of the conception. Now we're back dealing with sin. And what we do is we confess our sin to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. So the whole time, I'm back there thinking, I just need to flee out of this. It's not working for me because I never really wanted to confess my sin. And that's the big issue in this. We've spent our life trying to flee and get out of these situations and never tell anybody about it. And we just can never get there once we're dealing with the conception of lust in our heart.
Priscilla, I can hear it right now. There are some women listening to this podcast, and they are thinking about that swimming pool example I got. And they're thinking, Priscilla, how in the world do you do this? I would never be able to walk through this without reacting to my husband in a very harsh or strong way from something like this. What do you say to that?
I look at it more in this way. I probably would have said that in the 28. Like, when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
You know, stop doing this, Phil.
Before coming clean and dealing with all our problems, yeah.
But what I've seen is that God has showed me that transparency is the key in our marriage,
mm-hmm.
that we need to be transparent with one another.
Yeah.
And that is displaying our weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's being who we are with one another, that we are so open and vulnerable, just like Christ asked the church to be with one another. He said, be like I am with the Lord, my Father.
Yeah.
As I am with the Father, you be with one another. And they're totally open.
They are.
There is no secrets. There is no a little bit of hiding or a little bit, I don't want to tell her how weak I am.
I know you and I were sharing a passage the other day, and it was this passage about Simeon. And whenever Jesus and Mary came into the synagogue to brought Jesus in as a baby, Simeon, this man who was described as righteous and devout, and he had been told by God that he will not die before he sees the Christ. And then he saw Jesus, and he starts speaking a prophecy over him. But one of the things he said is that this baby, this Jesus, has been appointed for the rise and fall of many. And he told Mary that even a sword would pierce her own heart. But then he says something really interesting. He says, to this end, that the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. And that's in Luke 2, 34 through 35. And we were looking at that passage saying it's so interesting that at the end of this thing, he says, the end of this is that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. So we've looked at that this thing that we are experiencing here on earth, not only with each other, but with other people, there is a revealing of what God is wanting to do. And he's trying to show what is on the inside and making that equal what is on the outside. And that was the big problem he had with the Pharisees, was the hypocrisy. And I have to say that you and I were probably expert hypocrites. At least I was.
No, we were both hypocrites.
Yeah, right? I messed up a lot of things, but I was a great hypocrite. So
it is really what God wants us to do with him, is revealing our heart. Not mm-hmm. that he doesn't know it. He knows everything about us, every thought, every little detail. But he wants us to be like that with one another, because that is a part of I'm participating in your healing and you are participating in mine.
Well, in this message that I shared with these guys at this conference center, one of the things I was really trying to get them to see is that there is space between thinking and doing. And it operates in our feelings and our emotions. And that space is where temptation is going to show up in the way that we feel and our desires. But it's broken up into two pieces. You have a piece between when the thought enters our mind and we start to feel attracted to something. It's like when I said the fish is swimming around the bait. And then there is a place of conception of lust. And that's the piece between the point that we've decided we're going to consume something and actually consuming it. So this place of desire and emotion, we have to look at it separately, because the Bible talks about how you get out of each one of those, and it's different. So if it's between thinking and the conception of lust, you get out by fleeing, you get out by being transparent, walking in the light, And that's what I did initially with you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
But I didn't describe that I had lingered, because that was the place that I was making my own choices, my decisions to consume. And so now I've got a sin issue, not just a temptation issue, but I have a sin issue, even though I've not done anything except make the decision to linger, right? And so that's what I struggled with. I struggled with actually confessing that to you, that I had made a wrong choice. But when I did, it took me a little bit. I got back to that place that we were then again able to have fellowship with each other, be transparent with each other, and walk in a new way. And I think that's one thing that I've missed many, many times over the course of my life, and probably one of the reasons that we are so fearful about temptation, because it has always been linked in the past to acting out. But we are able to walk in a way that's really different in our marriage on that.
Well, we can't coddle our temptations, right? I think that sometimes we do that.
Well, temptation feels good.
Well, it does. And we kind of hold it gingerly, like, oh, let me just hold this just for
and
a little
enjoy
bit.
It just
and enjoy
for,
it.
Yeah.
And one example would be flirting. Mm. A lot of us have used flirting in our lifetime as a way of getting attention or just interacting with people.
Well, flirting is one of those things that feels really great.
Somebody is
interested in me. I'm interested in them.
And we all did to some extent when we were single.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us, that has lingered on into our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really dangerous place to go.
It is. It's perilous, because every affair we've ever talked to somebody about in their life, or a betrayal, has always started with a flirting. Some bigger flirts, some smaller flirts, but there's been that initial attraction. So the flirting is a really key thing that you have to look at. But I'd say another thing is what you're putting in front of your eyes. And sometimes I'll refer to something like the lies of PG-13, because sometimes when we're looking at movies, you'll say, well, I can watch this movie, but I can't watch that movie. But it's the movies that are in the middle are the ones that are a challenge, right? Because even if it's a PG-13, if you're watching a whole bunch of immorality on the movie, this stuff is going to affect you. It's one of those lies that it says, hey, it's not R and it's not X. So you're okay. But those things will still affect you. And we want to coddle the temptation when we should be just escaping from it.
Well, it's a place that your mind goes back to, right? You know, you've mentioned that to me a few times, of it takes me back to the place where I was.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good in my mind, and I feel it in my heart, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that we need to think about in this is when we escape temptation, it's not just running away from something, but it's running towards something. So when you escape, you have to run toward something, or you're going to wind up right back where you were. And I think that's been a key part of our reconciliation and healing, because we have really run to the Lord in what He wants to replace in our life. And that's been super key.
What we have seen in our marriage is we mm-hmm. have to want to be vulnerable with one another. And what keeps us from being vulnerable is our pride.
Yeah.
I don't want to risk it. I don't want you to know what's deep down inside of me. I just don't want you to see it. And that's all pride. And so it keeps me from wanting to be vulnerable with you and saying, yeah, I got these issues. I have this weakness. Being vulnerable with you and letting you see that, and you being vulnerable with me, is what keeps us walking in the light as He is in the light.
I know we've talked about some things that we could probably put in that category of easy to say and hard to do, but I'm confident that if you will implement some of these principles in your own marriage, it'll put you in a place of consistent humility and repentance. And that's a place where God can really have a victory in your lives.
If you've liked what you've heard, please subscribe to our podcast and provide a rating to help others find us.
And you can also purchase our award-winning books, Savage Marriage, Triumph Over Betrayal and Sexual Addiction, and our Savage Marriage Study Guide on Amazon.com.
If you have marriage issues that you would like to talk to us about, just book an appointment on SavageMarriageMinistries.com.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, it's God who's at work in your savage adventure.